Well, the Lord be with you. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you here today. Our guest visitors alike, good to see you out here today with us, and many blessings for today. Remember our shut-ins. We've got a lot of folks. I'm not going to go through the list. We've got too many on the prayer concerns list. A lot of folks sick, a lot of folks in need of prayer. We've had several have had surgeries and other things, and some are looking after some folks. I don't know what's going on. We're getting, something's after us here. You after us? Is it you? You sure? Are you sure you ain't after us? It might be Tota Faye, but it might be Nelson too. Something's after us, but it'll get away from us here in a minute. But again, remember our folks on prayer concerns list, our seniors and others. Just too many to go through, but continue to remember them in your prayers, if you will. Remember the family of the police officer who was shot over in Mooresville. Last evening, remember his family. Prayers go out to that community. It's a terrible, terrible thing, and it should never happen. Also, remember the families and those who are in the shooting down at UNC Charlotte. Continue to remember them in your prayers, and as they mourn, as they grieve, but continue just to remember them, that God may bring them comfort and peace. Today is Agape Day Camp sign up. It starts today, next Sunday also, so we want to get everybody signed up for Agape. One of the best bangs for your buck that you'll ever find is Camp Agape. Prayer, Bible study tomorrow with me, every Monday, 10:30 and 7 in the evening. We're in the Gospel of Luke. Hope you'll come out and join us and be with us. Also have communion and prayer too. The community senior citizens will be meeting Tuesday the 7th, 10:30 a.m. in the fellowship hall, their regular meeting, covered dish. They always have a good program. The vicar will be having his Bible study on Wednesdays, so it starts at 6:30, so be aware of that. Does a great job teaching, and you ought to come out. He is going into some stuff that can help you understand God's Word much better. The O-Wings are going to have an annual yard sale this on Saturday, May the 18th, 8 to 12, so you can get with Lene, and she can let you know all about that thing, or probably any of the ladies could tell you. So they're doing some wonderful stuff with that. Also, we got Vacation Bible School coming up. Don't forget about that. We've got a lot of things happening. Are there any other announcements or concerns? Got the youngins coming up. They got something for you.
Just a reminder, today is the last day, the last Sunday, to order your mama kits. And again, this is just to help the woman in Uganda give birth safely, because 20 of them die daily from not having the right equipment and just giving birth in unsanitary places.
As you know, we partnered with Mercy for Mamas, the ministry, to give a mama kit to a woman who cannot afford the necessary supplies to give birth safely. The mama kit has everything a woman needs, from gloves to a cord clamp.
Again, each kit is going to cost $7, and you can buy one in honor or memory of a special mom in your life. And we're going to pass out the forms after this announcement, and you can fill it out and put it in the offering.
There is also a cloth diaper option that you can donate to for only $5.50.
Thank you for your help and support.
Yeah, that's a serious thing, and this is part of being a mission-driven congregation, and the youth are kind of live that out to help with this. I hope you can help them out. And also just want to say we appreciate all you ladies with your hats on today. You look real nice. I like that. Hey, that one might get a little heavy, though, during the service. I'm not sure you got a lot of flyers on. How did they get too heavy? I hear Lene won. She had the best hat. I hear Lene, you got your hat on? Yeah, she's there. She's back there in the back. That's a nice, I like that. Linda, that looks very nice. I think you should actually put it on Kenny's head, please, and cover his head up if you would for us. That would help. Kenny's got his hat on too, but they saw him coming with his hat. But I hear the ladies had a great time yesterday, and the only thing is I understand the Kentucky Derby itself did not have a great time because there's some controversy there, but they had some fun. Maybe the Kentucky Derby, I don't know. What's wrong, Nelson? Tona Faye, you're trying to handle that over there. I'll tell you what, As they're handing those out, let's all stand as we're able for our confession and forgiveness. Just have to overlook that. That happens from time to time. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated if you would, and let's have the children come forward for the children's message. Lee, we're glad to see you back. I know it's been a long time, my friend, but glad to see Lee Kimmer back with us today. Many blessings, my friend. Also, just while the kids are coming, thank you to everybody who came out to work day yesterday and got a lot of things done. We appreciate you, and thank you so much for all that you do around here. Many blessings.
Good morning. How's everybody doing? Y'all doing good? Good. Good morning. All right. Did y'all hear the song that we just sang? We're just singing that song, I Know My Redeemer Lives, right? Do you know what the word redeem means? Like my redeemer, we're talking about Jesus with that song, right? So what does redeemer mean? Does anybody know? It's a bigger word, right? Right? When we talk about Jesus as our redeemer, it means that he's redeemed our souls, he's taken away our sin, so that we can live with him forever, and also means, and a lot of our readings today are going to talk about, he also can change us. He changes us here in this life, and the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us, and it can change us. And so sometimes we do some things that aren't good, and that's something that we can struggle with our whole life. But our Redeemer in Jesus, that means that he can change us to be different. He saves us and he changes us to be different. And so we don't have to make the same mistakes and do the same things. But also that means that we need to hope for him to change us, and we need to hope for him to change other people. And has anybody ever heard this? Ready? It's something we hear all the time. Did anybody ever hear turn the other cheek? Did anybody ever hear that? Because Jesus says to do that. If someone hurts you, to turn the other cheek. And pastors talked about it before. That oftentimes means that we hope for change in other people. So if anybody's hurt you or hurt your feelings or anything, then we hope for them to change, right? And people can change through Jesus. And so we always pray for them and hope for them. And since Jesus is our Redeemer, it means that even if other people have hurt us, that we don't have to let that change who we are. And we can be who Jesus wants us to be, and we can hope for change in those people. Does that sound good? That's a pretty good message, right? That's a pretty good thing that we need to hope for. Change in ourselves and change in other people, right? That sound good? All right, well, let's go ahead and pray, and then you can get a sucker and go to Children's Church, okay? We're going to pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for being our Redeemer, and we thank you for making it so that we can change, and we ask that you help us to hope for change in other people, but not let what they do to us change who we are. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, you guys can get a sucker.
Yikes. While the children are leaving, I did forget one thing. 3 p.m., it's at St. John. 3 p.m., the men's choir is having a concert up there today, so if you want to get in some good music.
Please stand if you're able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the community of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Let us pray. O God, by the humiliation of your Son,
hello.
It works. Nah.
Our first reading today comes from the 9th chapter of Acts, beginning with the first verse. Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judah look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples of Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is this not the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priest?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. Here ends the reading. Let us read responsibly Psalm 30. "I will exalt you, O Lord, because you have lifted me up and have not let mine enemies triumph over me." "You brought me up, O Lord, from the dead. You restored my life as I was going down to the grave." "For his wrath endures but the twinkling of an eye, his favor for a lifetime." "While I felt secure, I said, 'I shall never be disturbed.' You, Lord, with your favor, made me as strong as the mountains. I cried to you, O Lord. I pleaded with the Lord, saying, 'Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. O Lord, be my helper.' Therefore, my heart sings to you without ceasing. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever." The second reading today comes from the 5th chapter of Revelation. "Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?' and no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. And by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Here ends the reading.
Now the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard it, that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated if you would. Let's begin with a word and thank you for this wonderful day that you have given us. Thank you for this Easter season that we can celebrate your resurrection, that you enliven each and every one of us. We pray today you would open our hearts and minds to you, and God, that you would give us words to say, and that we would hear your words, and that your spirit might move in this place. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We see several things happening here in the text. First, we see God's grace moving And we also see it moving through the worthiness of Christ. If you go back and look at the Revelation text in 5, they were looking for somebody who was worthy to open the text, to open the seal. And there was nobody in all of heaven who was worthy to open the seal except for Jesus Christ. You see, he's worthy. He's worthy of our praise. He is worthy to be exalted. Why is that? The psalmist says it right here. I will exalt you, O Lord, because you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies triumph over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you restored me to health. You brought me up, O Lord, from the dead. You restored my life as I was going down to the grave. The psalmist has it right. He restored us. And this is where we see the grace of God in these texts today. In the text from Acts where we see Saul, who becomes Paul in just a little while. We see someone who is out persecuting the church, who hates what God is doing and is on his way to death, literally, because he is dying within himself because of his acts, because of his will, because of his ways, just because of who he is. He is going down into the pit, and we see the Redeemer Jesus, the one who is worthy of our praise in this Easter season, who reaches down on the road to Damascus, and he lifts up Saul from the depths, from the pit itself, as he is dying. He is truly dying within himself, spiritually and physically, and eventually his future was the pit of hell. That is where he was heading. But Jesus reaches down and says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Why are you doing these things? And the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ is seen within the life of Saul, who becomes Paul. And arguably, we could make the argument, other than Jesus, is the most influential person in the early Christian faith, and I would probably argue all of Christianity from the beginning until now, is the Apostle Paul, this one who persecuted the church, who was there to take the Christians and to have them killed. This one becomes part of this faith. That is mercy. That is grace. That is what the worthy one, Christ, does. And guess what? I don't know that any of us were quite on the same path as Saul, but he lifted us up too. It's a wonderful thing to be lifted up through Jesus Christ. And that's what we celebrate during this Easter season. During Lent, we were in repentance. We were in sackcloth. We were doing inward searches. But now we can rejoice that we have been lifted up through Jesus Christ. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing to consider, how this worthy one who shed his blood for me and for you has brought us out of the depths, out of the pit, just as he did for Saul and for so many others. And now I'd like to focus on the other part of this. We see the grace of God moving through the worthy one, Jesus Christ. And we also see this grace being applied here in this Gospel of John in the 21st chapter. And we see the disciples back at the Sea of Tiberias. That's basically the Sea of Galilee, same thing. Same thing. You might hear it called several things. All right, the Lake of Gennesaret and different things. It's still the Sea of Galilee. What do? They've gone back to fishing. They're back fishing. There's been a lifetime of discipleship, as Dr. Bonhoeffer says in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, from when they were in Mark in the first calling, and this very similar situation where Jesus calls them in Mark. And they haven't caught anything all night. And this is the first calling in Mark. But now we're to what is called a second calling. You see, God is not just the God of the first chance. He's the God of the first, the second, the third, the fourth. How many chances you need? God is there time after time after time after time to redeem us, to lift us up, and to help set us back on the path. And in this part, we see the beginning of the second calling.
call of the disciples. And if you read on, actually from verse 15 on, which is not part of our text today, you will see it's a very famous text where Peter is sitting with the Lord Jesus Christ, and here again we see the mercy and the grace of God truly at work. Here is a man who denied his Lord and Savior three times. Here is a man who has let his Lord down, who basically betrayed him on the night when he needed him his most. When he needed Peter the most, Peter was not there, and he denied him after saying, I will go to the bitter end with you. And I'm paraphrasing Peter here, but he says basically, I will go to death with you if that's what needs to be. And we all know the story. He denies Jesus three times. And here is a man who is broken, who is beaten, who has in his own mind lost the favor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is going back with the other disciples to fishing, because they think it's all over. It's all done. They've already lived the ministry that they're going to have. It's all done. It's all over with. Well, you see, Jesus has other plans. This is the recall of the disciples. And if you remember that after our text, we see Jesus and Peter sitting together. And Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? He says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then feed my sheep. And one last time for good measure, Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Peter, feed my sheep. You see, this is the call. This is why God has shown us the grace that he has shown us. He has not shown us the grace that he has shown us. He did not die upon the cross for us to sit and just feel good about that. He did not show his grace upon this church and for nearly 275 years that this congregation has been here. And thank God for that. And I pray it's here 275 years from now, should the good Lord not come back. But here's the thing. We can't rest upon those laurels. He didn't call us and give us this grace and show us his mercy so that we can just sit here and think, well, we've got 275 years of history behind us. We've got 275 years of tradition. We've got the oldest Lutheran church in the state of North Carolina. That's all great. That's fine. That's well, and that's good. But he has called us to move forward and show this grace and this mercy to others. Just as the disciples thought it was over, sometimes we think it's over, and maybe we think God can't use me. But he's calling each and every one of us as he did these disciples. This is almost the exact same scene as in Mark when he calls them the first time. And he's saying, friends, it's not over. This is really just the beginning. And sometimes God has to call us multiple, multiple times. Sometimes we may lose our way. Maybe we lose our track. Maybe we forget what God was doing through us. Maybe we get discouraged. There could be all sorts of reasons for that. But God is calling us again and again and again. And he is always there, renewing us in him. Why? So we can sit here and do nothing? No. So that we can go out into this world and that we too can spread the message just as Paul did, just as Peter did, just as the original disciples did to this hurting and dying world. There is a hurting and a dying world that needs to hear this message of renewal, this message of hope. When we listen to the news and we hear of the sad and tragic news of a Mooresville police officer being shot just on his job and killed last night, that hits close to home. We actually have some shut-ins in Mooresville, believe it or not, that we go visit from time to time. Kind of hits close to home. When we see a shooting down at UNC Charlotte and two students are killed, others are wounded, and others just scared to death wondering, this place where I'm just supposed to come and learn and grow and ask questions and do all the things that you're supposed to do ends up this way. You see, there's a hurting and there's a dying world. I don't know if this would have made a difference in these individual lives, but I think it probably would have. It certainly wouldn't have hurt. Maybe the person who shot that police officer needed somebody to bring the gospel to them, and maybe we would have had a different outcome last night. Perhaps it would have changed their life, would have renewed their life, would have renewed their spirit. Perhaps the young man that did what he did down at UNC Charlotte, maybe, if somebody would have cared enough, would have thought enough, would have been called enough to go out and spread the gospel to him, maybe there would have been a different outcome. I don't know. I'm not a genie. I don't have all the answers. I'm not a soothsayer. But it certainly could have made a difference. The jails are full of people that perhaps if somebody would have ministered to them. And you know what? Maybe today if somebody would minister to them. Guess what? This man named Paul, this guy Saul who becomes Paul, you know where he spent a lot of time? In jail. You know who else was considered a criminal? Jesus Christ. I think Peter might have spent a little bit of time in jail and a few others. You see, but these folks who went to jail had heard from the Master himself. These folks need to hear from the Master, and they need to hear from us. This is why we are to be a mission-driven people. We are to be enlivened, as we talked about on Easter Sunday. We should be enlivened by the message of the resurrected Jesus. And we should live like it. And we should go forth in boldness, proclaiming the gospel of the good news of Jesus to this hurting and this dying world. For certainly they need to hear it. Certainly God's grace and mercy are sufficient. It's just up to us to take it out and take it forward. And I pray today that we would do that. I pray today that we would show the mercy of Christ to one another, that we would love one another. I was watching as the little ones were up here, and I couldn't see which two it was, but two of the young girls were hugging each other. That's what we need a lot more of. You see, that's mercy. That's grace. You see, they don't know enough to be mad at each other. They're too young to know that. And I pray that they never find out. I pray that that's something they will do forever. You see, the mercy and the grace of Jesus, the one who is worthy. And you see, he is worthy because of what he did for us. The cross that he endured, the suffering, the pain, the mock trial, the betrayal, all the things that he says, I must do. He said, I must do these things. And guess what? He said, the must falls upon me and you too. We must go out and do these things and follow him. And guess what? People are not going to like it. People are not going to like me and you, but we must go forth in boldness in Jesus Christ. We must do these things because, why? He's worthy. I want to leave you with this. I want you to consider this. The King of the universe loves you. I want you to grasp a hold of that for just a moment. The King of the universe, he loves you. Since I got this mic and I want to do something. Y'all got a pen or a pencil down here? Thank you. Thank you, Tony Faye. You straighten him out in a little bit. I want to show you something. Done this in classes before. You can get mad at me. There is a mark there. It's a very small one. Can you see it? Huh. Can't see it. Here, Tony Faye, I'll give you that back. This is the earth. And this building here is the universe. And we're little specks, microscopic specks on that little speck that's on the wall. You can't see it. Nobody's ever going to see it. And someday somebody can say the preacher wrote on the wall. All right. When I'm going, somebody, that preacher, that crazy, he wrote on the wall. The God of the universe that created everything, made the entire universe, all the worlds. He loved you and me enough. Us, this little bitty microscopic specks on that dust that you, that you can't even see in the corner of a galaxy called the Milky Way. He loved us enough to come and become one of us, to die up on a cross, the most horrible method of death that humanity has conceived to kill by. And trust me, our depraved minds have come up with some pretty horrific ways to destroy one another. But this is probably the most horrific way. And he came and he died upon that cross for you. The God that made all this, that made things so far that our technology, as great as it is, cannot see to the end of it. He loved you enough to do that. That big God did that for you and for me. He cared that much. And that's why he's worthy. That's why we are to go forth and proclaim the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. And as St. Francis says, use words if necessary. Amen.
Passover Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who by his death has destroyed death, and by his rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and joy in your unending hymn. Good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit that by this Holy Communion we may know the unity we share with all your people in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forevermore.
Amen.
Now let us pray the word our Lord has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Before we're seated, I did miss the creed. Would you come lead us in the creed? I apologize.
Now let us confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty,
and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you, keep you in his grace, and lead you unto eternal life. And the Lord's face shine upon you, God's grace rest with you, and may we all share the grace and the mercy.